Ramadan Dates.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome to Ramadan Dates. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the hadith that whosoever seeks a path of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his path to Jannah easy. With us today to discuss this very, very important topic of becoming a student of knowledge is Sheikh Ziyad Ravat. Welcome, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khair, Habibi. Thank you for having me today.
Sheikh, where does one begin his pursuit of knowledge?
It all starts with the niyyah, the intention.
Yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who learns knowledge, لِيُمَارِيَ بِهِ السُّفَهَاءُ أَوْ لِيُجَادِلَ بِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. He wants to show the ignorant as inferior, or he wants to argue with the ulama, then this knowledge is not in his favor. And that's why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before pursuing knowledge, his dua was, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'ah.
Beneficial.
Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. And what is beneficial knowledge? Beneficial knowledge is that knowledge that motivates you to make amal and to do action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once the niyyah is pure, insha'Allah ta'ala, the seeking of the knowledge will become very easy. Where do we start? Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima. The seeking of knowledge is fard and mandatory upon every male and female believer. Now, subhanallah, it is fard upon us to make wudu, to have ghusl, to read salah, to make hajj, to zakah, all these things. So hence it will be mandatory to have the knowledge of these things.
Yes.
And a person should start with the basics. Today people become very intrigued by high discussions and by, subhanallah, academic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be speaking about ilmul fiqh and usul, but they don't even know how to make a proper wudu.
Yes.
So we are told and we are taught in the sharia, and even the ulama. I was just reading a kitab on the plane as I was coming, that if students were on the first kitab, they were not allowed by the sheikh to attend a discussion with students on the second kitab because of the difference of levels.
Yes.
So if students that were already pursuing knowledge for years,
mm-hmm.
they were not allowed to be attending a discourse by the sheikh if they never finished the kitab before, then how can we jump and want to learn all this academics of Islam when we don't know the basics? It starts from the basics, it starts from the farida. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would give license to people to go and practice their businesses. And no one could actually get a license to open up a business in Madinatul Munawwara unless and until he finished a course in the basics of the Sharia law regarding business.
Transactions.
You have to know how to do business, brother. You know, you have to know what is halal and what is haram. You have to know what is musharaka and mudaraba. You can't just go there and start doing business and then you don't know what to do.
Mm.
Subhanallah, how many of our youth get married today?
Yes.
But we do not know the basics of what is marriage and talaq. What is a one talaq, two talaqs, three talaqs? What is ila, what is dihar, what is khula? No one knows anything. But then when we are messed up, then we want to go, subhanallah, to the sheikh to just read some magical mantra on the entire thing and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, when we want to learn how to drive or to fly a plane, we learn all the manuals, we go for all the theories, and we do a course and get the certification. So hence, in sharia, if we want to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the basic knowledge has to be sought by anyone that is, subhanallah, practicing on any certain tenet of Islam.
Sheikh, there's a lot of different levels, obviously, in terms of knowledge, as you've mentioned. There are some certain knowledge that is required, like fardain, on every single person. There's others that's sort of communal as such. How does one go about, you know, choosing their path in terms of knowledge and how much they are required and obligated to know?
So according to how much a person needs to practice, that's how much knowledge he's supposed to be learning.
So if you want to get married?
For example, if you want to get married, he has to know the fiqh of getting married. If
yes.
he wants to go into a business, he has to know the fiqh of getting, subhanAllah, going into that business. And then the fara'id of deen, for example, the bunya al-islamu ala khams,
yes.
the five pillars of Islam, and the basic tenets. Also, the ilm of aqidah, what is our beliefs? You ask a person, what is your beliefs? Yes, I know Allah is one and I know His messengers, but beyond that, people don't know their aqidah. So it's very, very important people learn what is the proper aqidah and what is the belief system of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all fardul ayn.
Which is what?
Fardul ayn means it is fard upon every individual to pursue.
Every single person.
Every single person
must have that.
Every
knowledge.
Person has to know his aqidah. Every person has to know how to pray. Every person has to know how to be pure from najasa. Right? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongue of his Nabi that one learned person is harder upon shaitan than 1,000 worshippers here. Right? Why? Because when you know what you are doing, you'll do it correctly.
SubhanAllah.
Right? There was one person that was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for over 20, 30 years.
Yes.
And when he was approached, they found that he had cotton wool in his nose. And they asked him, what is this? He said, I took some of the filth and I put it in my nose to constantly smell it and think about the undesirable nature of this world. But then it was told to him, since it's najasa, your salah for 30 years is not accepted. So this is knowledge. This is ilm. This has to be known. And this is where shaitan takes us for a ride when we don't know. And then he makes us do certain things which is unpleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you get the fardul kifaya knowledge. Fardul kifaya means if certain people pursue their knowledge and they are, alhamdulillah, experts in it, then it will deliver it from everyone else and they will be excused. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, to the extent that even when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going with the Sahaba in battle,
yes,
and on expeditions, mm-hmm, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah that everyone should not go. There should be a group of people that should stay behind to continue this noble practice of learning and teaching knowledge. So when the other expeditions come back, they can teach them the Quran and teach them the Hadith.
SubhanAllah.
Yes.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We'll get to a break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking more about the pursuit of knowledge. Ramadan days.
Ramadan is a time for giving generously to those less fortunate. Your generosity will help distribute food packs to over 20,000 families. You can feed a family of five for the whole month of Ramadan for just $50 with a 100% donation policy and no admin fees. Donate this Ramadan to maximize your rewards at sadaqah.org.au.
Ramadan Day. Welcome back to Ramadan Dates. We find ourselves in a time when we are all quite busy, preoccupied with our studies, work, family, depending on the circumstances of people. One of the options that's quite readily available for people to pursue knowledge in this day and age is online resources. What are your thoughts on that particular avenue?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-hikmatu dhalatul muslim. Ayna yajiduha yaltaqituha. That the knowledge and wisdom is a lost item and a lost belonging of a believer. Wherever he finds it, he'll rush, pick it up and embrace it. So subhanAllah, if that knowledge is found online, then by all means, there's nothing wrong in embracing that knowledge. However, my beloved, we find that alhamdulillah, whilst the knowledge is online, that is just a fraction of the development of a person's knowledge. It's not the ultimate. Knowledge online, I would term as tayammum.
Okay.
As tayammum. And learning by scholars and going to the masjid and applying oneself, that is the wudu.
SubhanAllah.
Because Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah could have inspired that knowledge to Rasulullah into his heart automatically. But Allah Ta'ala preferred to have an ustad there in the form of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tutoring his beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And interestingly, Brother Malas, the first words that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam was not isma'ni, listen to me. He said, iqra, you read.
SubhanAllah.
So when we're online, 90% we're listening, we're not reading.
SubhanAllah.
Knowledge started with reading, not listening. So subhanAllah, yes, whilst online is very beneficial and no one can discount the benefits on online knowledge. Mm-hmm. There's a person living in Norway. There's a person living in one corner of New Zealand.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, the internet and the social media has made it possible for all of us to be united on one platform and learn in various ways. And there are great shuyukh out there, mashallah, doing great work in reminding people and bringing people. But that does not take away from the importance of applying oneself. And even traveling to go and learn. And I'll tell you why. SubhanAllah, one of our ulama said something so beautiful. They said, if you do not travel to learn, no one will travel to you. Meaning when you make an effort to learn knowledge, one day people will come and seek that knowledge by you.
SubhanAllah.
My beloved, we find, I was just now in Uzbekistan, in Bukhara, a few days ago. And when I stood by the graveside of Sayyidina Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, something that stood out for me was Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi's willingness to learn whatever he could, wherever he could. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi made that extra effort. He had lots of wealth. And it was very easy for him to summon all the scholars to come to him and pay them handsome amounts.
Yes.
But it's that struggle, that juhud, that the person puts in to achieve that knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.
SubhanAllah. And this is evident from the fact that his book is one of the most authentic books of hadith.
Exactly. So today we are very, mashallah, information rich, but knowledge poor.
SubhanAllah.
We're information rich, you'll ask people, they know a lot of things.
Yes.
But is that translating into amal? Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, learn knowledge in amount of the salt and have the amal in amount of the bread.
La ilaha illallah.
So little knowledge, but lots of amal.
Yes.
Today, mashallah, we have so much information.
Yes.
But it's not translating into knowledge because it was attained very easily.
SubhanAllah.
I just opened up, I saw a hadith, I read it, alhamdulillah. But imagine if you had to travel several days to go get that hadith. Then imagine
value.
The value of that hadith and how much more you would want to act upon that hadith.
SubhanAllah. Sheikh, on that, is there any risks that you see for people who obtain knowledge only from the internet and online?
Yes. As I said, it's great to go online and learn, alhamdulillah. But people that are just browsing various videos only, and they do not attach themselves to a masjid, they don't attach themselves to a qualified sheikh,
yes.
It's dangerous for two reasons. Number one, there's no authority that is monitoring what they are watching and what they are not watching. Now, the Sahaba were great. The Sahaba were great, not because of their knowledge. There were certain ulama that came afterwards in this ummah that
had
probably much more knowledge than certain Sahaba.
Yes.
Sahaba were great because of suhbah, because of companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that companionship cannot be attained online. You can see the sheikh and you can be listening to him, but that's not his companionship. As human beings, we do not like to be corrected. We always want to be right. And this is an easy way of slipping away from being in the company of a sheikh where he corrects you.
Hmm.
Where I, alhamdulillah, listen to a lot of things online and I feel very enriched, but no one ever took out your faults and showed you the right path, holding your hand and molding you.
Yes.
That, so number one, there's no monitoring online. How many of our brothers are watching probably things from various different sources of different aqidah and of different, subhanAllah, dangerous aqidahs against sahaba. So this is something which is very, very important, that there's no monitoring that's happening online. And secondly, people do not have a understanding of how to follow which pattern to learn that knowledge. Now we see, for example, a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm not fasting, I'm still eating. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you still eating? And he said, because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ, until the black line is vivid from the white line. And he really understood it to be two pieces of cotton under his pillow. So a sahabi that knows Arabic, he knows balagha, he knows all the subhanAllah terminologies, even he fell short of understanding a simple verse of the Quran al-Kareem if it was not for the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting him down and making him understand.
Imagine our situation.
Imagine our situation. The context of certain things. We might hear a hadith quoted by a certain sheikh and we take it out of context. So this context, that the Asbabun Nuzul, why they were revealed, when they were revealed, and hence, yes, alhamdulillah, we can wet our taste buds of knowledge online, alhamdulillah, and we can benefit. But ultimately, we should seek a source of a person that can correct us. A person, imagine just our tajweed of Quran Kareem.
Yes.
I heard people reading beautiful, but they're making a lot of mistakes. And they said that we learned online, where we heard a lot of people reading Quran, which is good. But are you reciting it to someone? Yes. If you mean online, where alhamdulillah, you are in touch with a sheikh overseas online, and that's good, alhamdulillah. You don't have to be physically sitting there, so long as, alhamdulillah, there's some type of exchange between you and the sheikh, inshallah.
Another option that we quite hear of in this day and age, especially in Western countries, is weekend conferences. How much benefit do you feel people can gain in terms of pursuit of knowledge at these conferences?
I myself attended some of these conferences, and they can be very beneficial because there are a great amount of people out there that probably would not have much, subhanAllah, amount of exposure to shuyukh. They're probably in their homes, they're probably in far off corners. And when these conferences do happen, they are able to come out and actually meet you first time in their lives, speak to them and ask questions. Mm-hmm. However, we have to remember something, and that is, if anything is done against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will not be hidayat in that. Instead of hidayah, dalala will spread. So when we do these conferences, the first thing, we must not be extravagant and not commercialize it.
Yes.
It should not be commercialized. It should not be in an artificial, or it should not be done for a business venture. It should be done solely to benefit the ummah. Once it starts becoming commercialized and it starts taking the brand of business, then subhanAllah, we're defeating the whole purpose in the very beginning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid was very, very simple. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid had mats, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid did not have light for 9 years because he was busy lighting the hearts of humanity.
SubhanAllah.
Right? And so do not spend absorbent amounts of 50,000 and 80,000 to get the latest venues. SubhanAllah, something simple is good enough, alhamdulillah. And secondly, the free mixing between male and female should not happen. There should be, alhamdulillah, modest arrangements for the brothers and the sisters, as how was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even the Quran Karim speaks that if you come even to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen,
yes,
and you ask them for something, min wara'i hijab, ask behind some modesty and veil, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْحَرُ لِكُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ, that's cleaner for their hearts and your hearts. And these are Sahaba and Azwajul Mutahharat. Mm-hmm. Who are we? So if we, alhamdulillah, follow the dictates of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do it in a simple manner and keep the intention right, then by all means these conferences can have a very far off, alhamdulillah, effect in our lands. But unfortunately, if we go away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the free mixing and we are doing things on a commercialized level, more for business and more for show, then there'll only be dalala that will spread from such events.
Allah, some beautiful words of advice. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Another aspect that's quite important is in the pursuit of knowledge is the friends that people have, mm-hmm, and the companionship that they have. What advice do you have for people that want to pursue knowledge in terms of the company that they have?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ala dini khalili.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You want to see a man's religion, look at his friends. And in my recent travel now to Bukhara and Samarkand, I found that we passed many, many great of ulama, the graves we went and we visited. And nearly each one of them, when we learned their history, they were actually motivated to learn because of someone next to them.
SubhanAllah.
Whether it was their mother, whether it was their sister, or whether it was another friend that got them involved into the learning. So SubhanAllah, in Surah Safat we learn that two people, ala sururin mutaqabilin, they will be sitting on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah, looking at each other. And they will say, we had Qareen, we had another friend, where is he? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a window and they will see him in Jahannam.
Wala yadu billah, may Allah protect us.
So subhanAllah, these two were good friends and they helped one another being where they are. But the other one unfortunately went to the other way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that everyone will be enemies on the day of Qiyamah, except those friends that were there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith I came across where, subhanAllah, two people, a person passed away and he sees his friend in the dream. And he asks, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me because one night myself and yourself, we were sitting in the place of the bazaar. And that's when we told one another, everyone is negligent regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the two of us remember Allah.
SubhanAllah.
And on that remembrance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the person.
SubhanAllah.
So good friendship is essential. And when you have good friendship, mashaAllah, that will motivate you to learn. I see it myself on a daily basis. Sisters that have good study circles, mashaAllah, they are coming to learn Quran.
Yes.
They are coming to learn more hadith. They want more and more programs for themselves. And this is a motivation that's happening, is a ripple effect amongst the circles. So definitely, by all means, Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُؤَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَىٰ لِعَاسِ. I complained to Imam Shafi rahimahullah, my inability to learn. And he said, leave out sin.
Yes.
For sin is a darkness. And subhanAllah, this knowledge is a nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the nur of Allah and darkness cannot coexist. So when we have good friends, they will call us toward piety. And when we're in a pious environment, it will be easy for us to learn knowledge.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good companionship that can help us strive towards the pursuit of beneficial knowledge.
Amen.
Sheikh, a very important concept is the fact that Islamic knowledge is preserved in the Arabic language.
Definitely.
How much importance, and what is your advice in terms of learning the Arabic language in pursuit of knowledge?
Definitely. Arabic is the language of the Quran al-Kareem. Arabic is the language of Jannah, inshallah. Arabic is the language of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Arabic is just the tool. It's not the actual. So many a times, a person spends lots of time and years learning Arabic, but he's not learning his deen.
Yes.
So he's defeating the purpose. Mm-hmm. So first, I would give advice, learn your deen well. Mm-hmm. You don't need Arabic to know your deen well.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually Ibn Arabi, rahimahullah. He is advised to learn Arabic first. But Ibn Khaldun, who wrote the Muqaddama Ibn Khaldun, and he traveled the world, and he wrote the rise and the fall of nations. He wrote that one of the common factors in many of the lands that he went to was that they learned Arabic, but they never learned the deen.
So it's a tool. Arabic is a tool.
So he said, first learn the Quran, learn the hifz of the Quran, and then after that, learn the ahkam, and then inshallah you can pursue the knowledge of Arabic itself. So by all means, we're not undermining and underestimating Arabic itself. Arabic is beautiful, and sometimes I cry. Reading the Arabic of the Quran al-Kareem and getting that meaning in your heart, especially in the Taraweeh Salah, it brings tears to one's eyes and you wish that everyone could understand that meaning. But that is secondary. First, we have to learn the ahkam. What's the sense of I'm learning Arabic and it's taking me forever,
yes,
but I don't know how to perform my wudu properly. Mm. And I don't even know how to perform my salah properly. So we see a lot of youth, they get excited in learning Arabic, but they're not coming for the basic classes of being a good Muslim. So it's fard to learn Islam, mm-hmm, and it's mashallah mustahab to learn Arabic. And once, alhamdulillah, you become an expert in your knowledge of the deen of Islam,
you want to specialize?
Then by all means, alhamdulillah, that is something that we encourage, learn the Arabic. And I always say learn Arabic through the Quran and the Hadith. Mm. Because a lot of people do certain causes or whatever, but that Arabic got no relation to the Quran and the Hadith, mm, then what's the sense of learning that Arabic? So inshallah ta'ala, if we learn Arabic with the intention of learning the Quran and the Hadith, by all means, but learn the deen first. And many people learn Arabic and then they think that they are sheikh already. Mm. Subhanallah, 2 years, 3 years. No, that is just the tool. Even after finishing 12 years, our mashayikh told us, don't think you're a scholar. Don't think you're a great personality. We have only given you the tools now to go out there and seek knowledge.
Subhanallah. And that's why, hence why scholars are called students of knowledge.
So
because
students,
forever they are
al-Mahdi
sort of,
ilal-lahd,
subhanallah,
from the cradle to the grave.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, Sheikh Ziyad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the students of knowledge. And I hope that this particular episode has been enlightening for all our audiences. Jazakumullah khair for watching. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.